Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the ODEC podcast. This is JJ Nekoloff, joined by Brad Bankston. Brad, we just finished our men's and women's basketball tournaments, and they're readying themselves for NCAA play. And we'll start off by recapping the men's tournament here first, as we had really an exciting tournament up and down. We'll talk about that on both sides here, but we saw a Randolph College team that made its second straight tournament appearance in just a few years in the league, and then Virginia Wesleyan being taken right to the brink by the Wildcats before that the Marlins were able to pull out the four-point victory, 65-61.
I would imagine that every coach in the league somehow trying to figure out whatever Clay Nunley's feeding his kids prior to the tournament, because, as you mentioned, the last 2 years, they've ascended to the championship game, last year being a four seed, this year being a six seed, having to play on the Tuesday. And it kind of goes back to our theory that teams that play the play-in game have had a great deal of success in our tournament. They catch the momentum. They get a chance sometimes to win on the road, oftentimes to win at home on that Tuesday night, and get to the Salem Civic Center. Playing four games in a week is a very difficult thing to do. They're not accustomed to doing that. And I would say that Randolph did not run out of gas on Sunday. If anything, they gave Virginia Wesleyan everything they deserve in a championship game, and that the fans deserved in a championship game. And, a great Virginia Wesleyan team advances to the NCAA tournament and going to be a wonderful representative for the ODAC along with Randolph-Macon.
Yeah, there are a couple different storylines coming out of that ball game, and the first one I'll talk about is Colton Hunt from Randolph College. Over the four games, he scores 101 points. That's a new ODAC tournament record there. He had 26 in the play-in game, 29 in the quarterfinals. Then he went down to 14 was his low in the semifinal before he pulled out a 32-point effort in the championship game against Virginia Wesleyan College, where he had something like 17 at the half. And not only that, it's a new personal best for him as well, too. So really an outstanding ball game from him as he tried to put the team on his shoulders and really did a good job. He and Derek Woods-Morrow were the players that stood out and were on the all-tournament team from Randolph. And when Hunt had a little bit of a lower scoring output in the semifinals, it was Woods-Morrow who stepped up with 20 points and 15 rebounds in that ball game. So they really got some good performance out of there. But then you have to look at Virginia Wesleyan, which did what it was supposed to do as a number one seed, as they won ball games. They made sure that their players were really playing up to snuff, as Coach Machito was really all on top of them to maintain their energy level at a high level throughout the tournament.
Yeah, it was really a pleasure to watch his preparation, Coach Nunley's preparation, everybody's preparation. When you try to, I guess, summarize the tournament, it was just excitement is the first word. I mean, games coming down to the last possession, the last 2 or 3 minutes of each contest. I go back to the Hampton-Sydney Virginia Wesleyan game on Saturday on the men's side. Just a great tilt and a great semifinal game, and you wonder how in the world can you replicate that, or can you beat that? And then you go out on Sunday and you have a game like we had between Randolph and Virginia Wesleyan, and you've got what makes a great championship, which is excitement, in and out, parity, as we've been talking about all year. And now we've got the opportunity to have two teams from the ODAC on the men's side to advance to NCAA championship play. Virginia Wesleyan and Randolph-Macon, and if they win out, I guess we could say they're going to be able to see each other in the national championship game, which would be a really unique opportunity for us to have. So we wish both of them the best of luck. Virginia Wesleyan's hosting St. Mary's on Saturday, and then would be in a pod with a good number of teams. The majority of those teams either from the Deep South or from the West, which is a little unique twist for them to have a chance, and frankly, the bracket looks like it was handled very well from the NCAA committee standpoint. You've got a Randolph-Macon team not playing in the Mid-Atlantic, which you might believe they would be in the New Jersey area because it's closer to the Richmond I-95 corridor. They're going across the mountain through West Virginia into Ohio to compete against Capital, who won the Ohio Athletic Conference, and also a very formidable opponent in a Worcester team that if both teams win, would see each other in the second round at Worcester, which will be a very hostile environment wouldn't be the right word, but very favorable towards the home team. Worcester has quite a tradition in Division III basketball.
Yeah, that really is a good bracket. I mean, it was an interesting bracket from the words of D3Hoops.com when they looked at it, but D3Hoops.com guessed a lot of the games correct when they did their own prediction, so it's a lot of stuff they were looking forward to, or at least predicted, is what the NCAA would do. But when you look at what's going on with Virginia Wesleyan with that first round bye, you think that that's a big bonus, and really it is to start off with, to get that bonus, to have a look at the two teams that you may face, and to be able to stay home and have an extra day to really prepare and keep your players comfortable. But then what's coming up after that is you look at teams like, you know, we've talked about a little bit here, it'll probably be a Mary Hardin-Baylor and Whitworth playing for a spot to be the opponent of Virginia Wesleyan should they beat St. Mary's in the next round. And you go even further and you look at the lower part of this side of the bracket, you have a UW-River Falls and Wheaton team that most likely, maybe Gustavus Adolphus can come out of there. There's an Edgewood squad that I don't know much about there, so that's really an unknown pod that could come out. But then in the very bottom one, you've got last year's national champion in St. Thomas, which is sitting down there lurking, which really could be part of that pod and could be a possible Marlins opponent should they make it all the way to the sectional finals for a trip to Salem on the line against the reigning national champions.
Well, Virginia Wesleyan's got a very tough opponent on Saturday, an opponent that has been an Achilles heel for the ODAC over the last several years, in St. Mary's squad, who just historically, I'm not great about remembering years, year after year, who beat Guilford at Guilford, a very strong Quaker team in the first round one year, who has knocked out Randolph-Macon as well at St. Mary's. It'll be great to have Virginia Wesleyan certainly playing St. Mary's at home, but, you know, that's been a great program over the last 5 or 6 years of what they've done at St. Mary's. And, you know, we wish the Marlins the best of luck. And again, from Randolph-Macon's side, a very, very difficult pod with Hope in Illinois Wesleyan and UW-Stevens Point right there in that same grouping that would be able to, certainly if they win the Worcester bracket, would be advancing in to play them in the third round. So, you know, the round of 16 could be very difficult for both of our teams. But when you get to the final 16 in Division III men's basketball, it's difficult for every matchup.
Yeah, the basketball now is really going to be at a high level. And we've been lucky to see that throughout the ODAC tournaments. And if we switch sides to women's basketball, we saw an outstanding women's basketball tournament in Salem here over the 4 days of last week's tournament. And we saw Guilford College come out with that championship, really putting together a quality run and defeating a good Virginia Wesleyan team by 17 points, 57-40, and really staking a claim to the Quakers as a top spot in the conference, with Gabby Oglesby earning the most outstanding player after being the player of the year in the all-conference voting, showing that they could get it done down low, but really also having some surprising perimeter play as their guards did a lot of good slashing, kicking the ball back out for some shooting, and then working the ball down low to Oglesby and Morgan King, and having a do-everything player like Jacqueline Nucci, who had one game where she had, I believe, you know, double-figure points, 6 or 7 rebounds, 5 or 6 assists, a couple steals. Really has a good set of players there that they'll need going into their NCAA tournament pod coming up this weekend.
Yeah, you know, again, when you get involved in the NCAA and you have an opportunity to play these games against people that you have no familiarity with, you don't really know what's going to happen. And that would hold true for Virginia Wesleyan and Randolph-Macon on the men's side. It also holds true for Guilford playing a center squad that, you know, they probably have no familiarity with whatsoever. The only thing you can get is one film. You see the last film, their most recent game, and you're trying to get your kids up to speed. But as you mentioned, having seen that squad, they possess the pieces necessary to make a tournament run. You know, they didn't have a tremendous amount of success out of league. They didn't, you know, falter out of league for us as well. So they had a couple losses. You know, they've gotten their feet underneath them. They had a very convincing win in the conference championship game. And with a little confidence, you know, I think that squad could make a run because, as you said, they have the pieces necessary to win championship games. You have good post play. You have good guard play. They're quick. They shoot the ball relatively well. And from what I can remember from the tournament, I felt like they played defense very effectively as well. So, you know, again, Stephanie Flamini's got herself a good squad, a good young squad for the most part. That my guess is they're going to be able to, they're going to be a contender in the ODAC for a number of years.
Now, before they can make a run in the NCAA tournament, they've got themselves a very formidable roadblock to start. Well, it actually would be their second round. If they get past Center, they've got most likely a Washington St. Louis team that plays Ferrum in the first round after being the USA South champion. But Washington St. Louis was the runner-up last year. Went up, but took a nice game to Amherst, who was the champion last year, and Amherst is on the other side of the bracket, undefeated. I believe one of three undefeated teams in the women's ranks. So, at the top of women's basketball in Division III, it really does get very good, some very good play and really sound play. So, for Guilford to continue on, they would have to grow beyond what you said was the young team they have right now. It really is a young team. A lot of sophomores playing. Really only one senior, I believe, that they lose in Jaslyn Gibbs after this year. But she's a key cog for them. Handles the ball a lot, scores a lot, and is really going to be a major factor for them if they're going to make it through past the second round into the farther rounds. And would be really a great accomplishment for that program if they could get past a Washington St. Louis squad.
Well, you know, again, I think being young may work to your advantage in that situation. You know, hey, haven't been here before. Let's go out and just compete every minute. Have an opportunity to say we're thankful for the fact that we're here, and play our game. And again, who knows? I mean, I can tell you, I think Ferrum's pretty talented as well. You know, be curious to see how strong a game they give Wash U. Maybe Ferrum beats Wash U. You know, from a surprise standpoint. I don't know that. I haven't had a chance to watch either one of them on film to understand their strengths and weaknesses. But, you know, again, got a blank slate. You have an opportunity to kind of get into the tournament and then advance from there. And, you know, the most important part for Guilford is that they have a conference championship under their belt. That's something that they have not done in women's basketball since the early 2000s.
Well, if you're interested in watching any of the men's or women's NCAA games, go to the interactive brackets on the NCAA website at NCAA.com, and you should be able to pull up the matchups within those interactive brackets. And if there are live stats and live video links, they should be available there. If you don't find them there, don't stop looking for it. Go to the host site, as the interactive bracket will tell you who's hosting, and go to the host website and see if they have some video or live stat links there. As just about all the games, if I can remember in the past, have been put up on the internet through a webcast and whatnot. I know actually Randolph-Macon College for the Men is having a live webcast viewing party, if you will, at Randolph-Macon College, and maybe Virginia Wesleyan and Guilford are doing the same things. So please look into all video options there so you can watch the games and cheer on your favorite ODAC squad in the NCAA tournament. But Brad, while we're sitting here talking about the basketball championships, we've got a series of spring sports that have really jumped into gear and are doing some good things here. So far, I got the chance to be at Roanoke College yesterday and watch them defeat Adrian from Michigan in men's lacrosse. Softball is moving on, as I actually saw the softball team leaving Roanoke College to head out to the Virginia Beach Blast for their spring break trip. And we've got other sports with women's lacrosse and baseball that are really kicking into gears. Tennis is getting moving. Golf started up this past weekend with Guilford College winning another event as they won the Pine Needles Intercollegiate. So there's the spring sports are moving here, and we got a chance to talk with Kurt Kendall from Bridgewater College a little earlier today.
Yeah, Kurt is not only the baseball coach there, a longtime baseball coach, was the assistant baseball coach before he assumed the head duties as head coach, but also serves as the AD. And, you know, Kurt's had some milestones in his career, specifically this year winning 600 games. And we chuckle with Kurt, and, you know, the longer you do it, the more games you win. But it is really a testament to their program and the work that he's put in and the investment that was made before he got there for a Bridgewater baseball team that year in and year out is a contender in the ODAC. And let's hear what Kurt had to say about the upcoming season, a recap of where they've been so far at 9-1 and now moving forward for the rest of the 2012 campaign.
Joined by Kurt Kendall, the baseball coach at Bridgewater College. And Kurt, you recently hit a personal milestone, actually two of them, if you will. One of them a little bit more minor than the other one, coming straight through your schedule, is that you beat a nationally ranked Shenandoah team the other day, and then you also got your 600th career victory. Talk a little bit about just what it means for you to be so successful over your tenure at Bridgewater College.
Kurt, when you look at the landscape of ODAC baseball, you've been doing it for 25 plus years, and you mentioned, you know, obviously you do it that long. You've got the secret to success somewhere, because Bridgewater's always mentioned at the top of the conference when it comes to the preseason poll or performance in the tournament with a number of championships under your belt. When you look at the league and, I guess, the progression of the league over that period of time, what are a couple things that come to mind for you? And I guess that's indicative as well when you look at the tournament and the teams that have had success in the tournament, and going back to a Washington Elite squad several years ago that actually won the conference championship coming in as a sixth seed.
Yeah, I think they did. I think also Hampton City, if I'm right, I'm not sure about this. I'm terrible on history, but I think Hampton City was in the sixth hole 61 year. Not only won our tournament, but went on to the national championship.
That's right.
I believe, yeah. Round, I mean, the final round. So, you know, it just proves their depth in our conference. And, you know, usually when you get down to the last week of the season, there's three teams trying to get one of the last two or one spot to get the tournament.
Kurt, let's talk a little bit about this year's Eagles squad right now. You've already had two pitchers of the week in just 3 weeks of the award so far, and it looks like the pitchers have taken off a little bit more than the hitters, which is indicative pretty much of all levels of early season baseball. Talk a little bit about what you expect from the 2012 Eagles.
Well, we've got some, you know, lofty goals, and it's a team that returns a pitching staff that did well last year with a fair amount of youth in the staff or in experience. Now with last year putting guys out there, getting the experience, you know, we come back with a little more depth because of that experience, and we've got a number of starters that go ahead and put there, put out on the mound and compete day in, day out. I think when you're trying to pitch your entire schedule, whether it's in conference or out of conference, you want to be able to put a good starter out there, and I think we're able to do that this year. And I think, you know, it's one first time since about the years where we had the 96, 94, 5, 6 team, where we had a pretty good starting 54. It's probably one of the first years since then where we've been this team.
when we look around the league just a little bit here, we had some players that had some really great seasons last year. Thinking about Kyle Wooden at Guilford College, and then and Jordan Walton at Randolph-Macon College, who both happened to be first basemen. And Walton ends up being the NCAA all-time leader in doubles and getting an All-America award. What do you expect from him this year over at Randolph-Macon, and maybe just some other players that come to you to the top of your mind?
Well, you know, I don't think too much ahead about how to pitch players or hitters until we get close to that time you're out to play. I think he's one of those guys that coming off last year, he's saying, I got to figure out how to pitch this guy. He had a great year, and I'm sure he's going to have another great year this year. And, we got to figure a way to pitch him and try not to let him hurt us. But he's certainly a guy that you got to contend with when you play Randolph-Macon. And there are teams that you got to look out for. They're going to be pretty good this year.
Kurt, when you get ready to take your trip, and I know you guys are getting ready to leave for your spring trip, if you had to come up with one word to describe Bridgewater baseball and your time there, and I know this is going to kind of put you on the spot, but I want to get it from you kind of top off the top of your head, what would that one word be to help describe your success?
Well, that's a tough one, Brad. I think the word would have to be compete. You know, I like our guys. Every day you walk out there, no matter what you think your talent level is compared to the other team, you have the opportunity to compete. If you do that, you get a chance. So we ask them to play hard and compete.
Kurt, I wish you the best for the rest of the season, and I would echo your sentiment that the word compete, because you guys do a great job of that, and you certainly represent the ODAC well when you're on the road. And we appreciate all that you do, not only in baseball, but as serving as the athletic director of Bridgewater as well. And wish you the best on your spring trip and the rest of the 2012 campaign.
Thank you, guys.
Well, JJ, just like we expected, Kurt hangs his hat on the fact of longevity of being his 600 wins. And he's a very humble guy and certainly deserving of the accolades that have come with winning 600 games. And we wish them the best of luck, as well as all of our baseball teams this spring semester, and we'll have a chance to catch up with a number of them throughout the spring when we make a better effort to continue our podcast throughout the rest of the year. It gets a little taxing here hosting the NCAA basketball championship and some of the preparations that go into that. And then as soon as we get out of that, we transition straight into, our conference tournaments that will start with tennis quarterfinals and then golf and then evolving at the end of April with all of our other championships. So, I know it's a busy time for you. It seems like it's always busy during the academic year, but we do have a little lull here, which is nice, so we can finally sink our teeth into the spring sports.
Well, Brad, you're absolutely right. We are going to be getting into some spring sports here, but we do have some winter championships, some winter seasons still to finish up, as the indoor track and field championships were this past weekend, with Roanoke College winning on the women's side and Lynchburg College winning on the men's side. And the swimming championships and national championships are coming up, as well as the indoor track and field championships. So keep on the lookout for those student athletes and or teams that could be competing in those events for their endeavors throughout the national tournament. And also into the spring sports here, as we've talked about, with many of them going on their spring break trips here. So you'll be able to try to follow along with those at the tournament host site if they have a website for the tournament they're going to. I know the Beach Blast tries to do a good job. Some of the teams go down to Florida for the Rebel Games, speaking specifically of softball there. But there's a lot of movement right now at this time of the year, because a lot of the student athletes are no longer on campus as they're with their spring break trips. So for Brad Bankston, this is JJ Neckloff. We'll talk to you next week.